prophetic history of the 70th week. It began in chapter 11, verse 36, and goes through chapter 12, verse 3. So that's what we're looking at, and you can keep that in mind. Chapter 12 will conclude the vision. The vision began in chapter 10, the explanation of that vision in chapter 11, and the first three verses of chapter 12, he has the final explanation of the vision that's coming, and we want to look at that this morning. Gabriel explains what will happen to the Gentiles in chapter 12, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verses 36 to 45. Remember, we discussed in that period of time the Antichrist. There was a transition between verse 35 and 36. 35 up to verse 35, he was talking about the kings of the north and the south and Antiochus Epiphanes. And now we've come to the transition begins in verse 36. Daniel seems to jump ahead. He stops with Antiochus Epiphanes, moves through the period of time, the intertestament time, the remainder of the Old Testament, the intertestament time, through the church age, and picks it up, not at the beginning of the tribulation, but in the middle of the tribulation. And he's going to explain to us about the Antichrist. And in those last 3.5 years, when the Antichrist rule, and how he turns upon the nation Israel to annihilate the nation Israel. It's at this point, at the end of chapter 11, that Daniel is very concerned. What's going to happen to Israel? He's talked about the persecution under the Antichrist. Now, what does the future hold for Israel? What's going to happen to Israel? Now, the angel reveals several facts concerning Israel. First of all, Israel is going to suffer. We know that. There's terrible suffering coming. That will come. They will be delivered. There is the rock hewn out of the mountain that... the stone that's hewed out of the mountain, Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, and the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and 20 through verse 27. All those things are there. Christ is going to come back. And there is a deliverance for the nation Israel. There is a bright future for Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 12 reveals that Satan will attempt to literally to exterminate every descendant of Abraham. The reason, again, is to make null the promise that God has made to the nation that they would have a land and a king forever. And he's trying to stop that. And the way he's going to stop it is to try to annihilate every Jew from the face of this earth. This will be a time, at the end of the last 3.5 years, this will be a time of unprecedented distress and persecution for the nation Israel. In Matthew 24, verse 21, he says, "For then shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, we know that that's going to be a terrible time. That's the time when Israel has to flee to the mountains and for protection, to hide in the caves and so on. Now, that's a hard part. That's revealed. We'll see that in verse 1. The second thing you're going to see in this verse, that Gabriel reveals to Daniel that they will be delivered, and that there is a resurrection coming. So although many of the Jews will be killed during the tribulation period, there will be a resurrection, and he's going to reveal that in verse 1. So let's begin Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Let me read it to you. I want you to notice one thing as we read through it. Notice the words, "at that time," a time of trouble, "that same time," "at that time." Those are four different phrases in this verse. Now notice it. He says this, "And at that time Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that will be found written in the book." So this is a great promise to the nation Israel. At that time, Michael will stand up. Michael is the prince of Israel, the great prince of Israel. He is the one who has been given the responsibility of protecting the nation Israel and watching over them so that God's promises can be fulfilled to the nation Israel. He will stand up. He's called one of the great princes. He shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of Israel. In chapter 10, verse 13, he's called one of the great princes. And chapter 10, verse 21, he calls him your prince. Here again, he talks about the great prince who stands for the children of your people. Your people, of course, is the nation Israel. That same thing is true in chapter 10, verse 21. He talks about your people. Your people are the nation of Israel. These are Daniel's people. These are the people that have been taken into captivity. These are the people now that are going back into the land. But Daniel has this vision. And so Michael is the one who is going to reveal. His name is mentioned only here in the Old Testament. However, in the New Testament, his name appears twice. You might want to look at those or write them down. The first one is in Jude 9. In Jude 9, he wrestled over the body with Satan over the body of Moses. And then he's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his archangels fought against the dragon. Now, the dragon in Revelation 12 is Satan himself. And he's going to fight against them. Now, if you note, in both of these verses, it deals with the nation Israel. Moses, of course, is one of the leaders of the nation Israel. And then he's going to persecute in Revelation chapter 12. He's going to persecute the woman that brought forth the man-child. The woman that brought forth the man-child relates to the nation Israel. Israel is that woman. And he will be fighting against them. He brought forth a man-child. You might write down in your notes Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. You'll see that very clearly, that the devil is cast out of heaven, and now he's going to fight against, or this dragon is cast out of heaven, and now he's fighting Michael. Michael's job is to preserve the nation Israel, not only to protect her, but to preserve her from the wicked forces. And at this time, so that God will fulfill his promises to them. That is at the time of the tribulation. He's still watching over the nation Israel. He's still protecting the nation Israel. At this time, the war is going on in the heavenlies. That is in the second heaven, not the first heaven. That's our atmosphere. The second heaven is the realm of the spirits. The third heaven happens to be the very throne of God. So this battle that Michael is involved in now is in the second heaven. However, in Revelation chapter 12, he's cast this down to this earth, and so the battle is going to take place down here. And he's given the job, again, during this terrible period, these 3.5 years, to protect the nation Israel so that they're preserved to go into the millennial kingdom. Let me read you just a few verses that I've written down. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. While he's here on the earth, he makes war against the remnant of Israel." Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they will be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." So there's a war going on. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 says, "And then shall be a great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." Now Michael stands up to protect the people. That's his job. He stands up to protect them from annihilation. Satan wants to get rid of them. He's not going to do that. Will you turn to Zechariah chapter 13 with me? Zechariah chapter 13. In that passage, we see the carnage that's going to be made. Two-thirds of the people of Israel will be killed. Two-thirds of the people of Israel will be killed. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8. Now, this is, you can imagine, the millions of Jews there are in the world, two-thirds of them will be killed by Satan and his angels, through the Antichrist. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 says this, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein will be cut off and die." Two-thirds. "But the third shall be left therein." So a third is going to go, during the tribulation, there will be a third that are left remaining. Now of that third, of that third, there is going to be a judgment at the end. When Christ comes back, he will judge. And some of that two-third, or that one-third, will be saved and go into the millennial kingdom. A part of that third will be cast into the bottomless pit. They're not going to make it. They're going to stand in judgment. So we have that again all through Scripture. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 28. Let me read that to you. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. Now remember, the fullness of Gentiles is when the church is completed. When that's completed, then God's going to remove the blind. And all Israel, this is at the end of the tribulation, and entering into the kingdom, all Israel shall be saved. And it is written there, shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I will take away their sins. So there's going to be a judgment at the end, and he's going to take away their sins. These are those who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will enter into the millennial kingdom. He says this at the end of verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. They rejected Jesus Christ. God turned to the Gentiles. You and I have received the gospel because of the rejection of Israel. But as touching election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. They're still the elect people of God, and God's going to save them. That will come at the end of the millennial kingdom. Now, many will be saved during the tribulation. Many will be saved. Many of them will not believe. Two-thirds of that group, saved and unsaved, will be killed. Be leaving one-third of those people that are left, there will be believing Jews and unbelieving Jews. There will be a separation at the end of the millennial kingdom, or at the end of the tribulation, and those who are left behind will go into the millennial kingdom. Those that are taken will be taken in judgment. Are you with me on that? Is that making sense to you? Now, the little phrase in this first verse, the phrase written in the book is a reference to the Lamb's Book of Life. And it contains all the names of those whom God has chosen in eternity past to be saved. This book is a part of the Scripture of Truth. Remember, we talked about the Scripture of Truth back in chapter 10, verse 21. The Scripture of Truth is God's plan for the ages, for all the ages. The Lamb's Book of Life is contained in the Scripture of Truth. The Scripture of Truth contains the Lamb's Book of Life, but it contains a lot more than that. It contains all of God's plan of the ages, from the beginning of creation to the end. And he hasn't chosen to reveal all that. He doesn't reveal everything, but he does have a plan, and he's carried out that plan. I've given you that before. I talked to you about the predetermined counsel of God. And in that predetermined counsel of God, God set up a plan, and they decreed that plan to come to pass. That plan is the Scripture of Truth. In the Scripture of Truth, God chose some to be saved. That's the Lamb's Book of Life. They are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Any questions? Now, the times of the Gentiles, or the time of the Gentiles, is still future. It's still off. The church age is still here. When the times of the Gentiles are ended, Israel will go through the tribulation, and God will come back at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And at that point in time, the age-old problem between in the Middle East, between Muslims and the Arabs and the Jews will be settled once and for all. That will be taken care of when Christ comes back. That problem in the Middle East will continue until Jesus Christ returns. So there will be no peace accord. There won't be any peace in the Middle East until Jesus Christ comes back. So what you see, all the attempts and all attempts to have a peace accord and to keep that peace accord, they'll always fail when they're made by man. The only time that will come to pass when there's peace is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns the second time. Then he's going to take away the unsaved, and the only people that will be left on this earth will be the saved people. And that problem will be solved. Any questions in verse 1? All right, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, some to will awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The second consolation, all right, the second consolation is that those who die in the tribulation period, there will be a resurrection. Now that's the context of this particular passage. We know that when this resurrection takes place, all the Old Testament saints will be raised. That is at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Israel in verse 1 will suffer great persecution, but they will not be annihilated. Michael, the archangel, will protect them, and God's going to deliver them. The remnant, that is, not all Israel is Israel, but the remnant of Israel will be saved at that time. Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says, not as though the word of God has taken of none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. Among the nation Israel, there are unbelievers. They will be taken in judgment, either by the Antichrist or at the second coming of Jesus Christ. They will be taken. There are two resurrections. And I noted this before. One for the just and one for the unjust. This is the only place in the Old Testament that you have the two resurrections mentioned. All right? A resurrection, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You ought to underline the word everlasting. There are a number of people who believe that God ultimately will save everybody. This verse denies that. This verse tells us that it's everlasting. Everlasting means without end. So it's going to continue. There's an eternal judgment coming, an everlasting judgment that's coming upon the unsaved. And at the end of the tribulation, those who are not saved will enter into, and are not part of this resurrection, will enter into everlasting contempt or judgment that's going to come upon them. This is in agreement with Acts, by the way. Remember what Paul said? Paul said these things in chapter 24, verse 15. He says, and have hope towards God. He's making his confession, and in the third part of his confession, there are three parts of that confession, but this is the third part, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This is exactly what Michael reveals to Daniel. There's going to be a resurrection of the just. There'll be a resurrection of the unjust. Both of them are coming. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. In context, Daniel is talking about those coming out of the Great Tribulation. This is that great time of trouble, as the world has never seen. Actually, there are four groups that you ought to make mention of this. I should put these on the overhead, but you might want to write these down. There are four groups that come out of the Great Tribulation. There are four groups at the end of the tribulation. There are the righteous Jews. Those are the saved Jews. Those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the first group. That's the first group. These are the righteous Jews. These are the ones who received Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They're going to come out of the Great Tribulation. They're going to enter into the Millennial Kingdom. The second group, and by the way, these are the ones that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are the ones that he talked about in verse 1. That's that group. The second group are Jews. The second group will be Gentiles who believe in Christ during the tribulation. There will be a multitude of Gentiles who will be saved in the tribulation, all right? The third group will be those who will believe in Christ but will be killed for their faith in Christ. And fourth, the fourth group, this is the last group, there will be Jews and Gentiles who do not believe in Christ as their Messiah. They will also be at the end of the tribulation period. So you have those four groups. You have the saved Jews. You have the Gentiles who are saved during the tribulation. You have those who will believe in Christ but will be killed. They're not living on the face of the earth. These are the ones that are going to be resurrected. The second group are Jews and Gentiles who do not believe in Christ as the Messiah. They will also be part of that resurrection. Those are the ones that go into everlasting contempt. Any questions? You all look like you're... This is Mother's Day. We're thinking about other things. Any questions? Now again, Gabriel is speaking of those Jews who have believed and died, those who sleep in the dust. He talks about, and many of them shall sleep in the dust. Yes. They will be a part of that group, yes. They will be. The Old Testament saints will be resurrected with those who died during the tribulation, yes. I'll mention that in just a few minutes, because the resurrection has two phases. There are two parts. The first part has two phases, so I'll get to that in just a moment. Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. The ones who are killed in the temple? Oh, serving in the temple. If they're believers, they will be. And they're killed. I don't know. The temple's not there. Oh, they believe in the resurrection. Yeah, well, all the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but they weren't saved. Now, if you're talking about the present-day Jews and during the tribulation, when the first part of the tribulation when the temple is rebuilt and they're serving in the temple, I suspect some of them will be saved. I don't know. I don't know if they'll all be saved. Only the saved ones. Right. Only the saved ones will go into the millennium. Those who are unsaved, they're either killed by the Antichrist, or if they're alive when Christ comes, they'll stand before Him, and there'll be a separation of the wheat and the goats. There'll be the goats and the sheep. Goats and the sheep, that's not right. Is it lambs and sheep? What is it? Sheep and goats, yes. And the wheat and the tares. There is going to be a separation at the end of the millennial kingdom, or the end of the tribulation. And at that time, that's for the saved. That's for the living ones at the end of the tribulation. Some of them will be saved, some of them won't. There will be a separation. Those who are saved at that point will go into the millennial kingdom. Those who are not will be killed, and they will be taken out and cast into the bottomless pit to wait for the great white tribulation at the end of the millennial kingdom. A great white, what did I say? Great white throne judgment. I don't know, my mind is not working this morning. I'm sorry. Got to get it in gear here a little bit. The great white throne judgment. All right, let's see where we're at. The Bible, talking about those who sleep in the dust, the Bible never presents the idea of soul sleep. The soul does not sleep. The soul is eternal. The soul will live on forever. The soul and the spirit of man will live forever. Some in everlasting contempt, some as he says here, in everlasting life. So they'll awake, some to everlasting life, some who are to everlasting contempt. So there's no such thing as soul sleep. Now, when you go to a funeral, you hear many people say, "Well, the corpse is lying in there. That corpse looks like it's asleep." Well, it isn't asleep, it's dead. And it isn't. The soul and the spirit of man has left him. And if they're a believer in the Old Testament and during, let's just talk about the Old Testament first. In the Old Testament, up until Pentecost, when a person died, his soul and spirit went to paradise, went to Abram's bosom. That's a place, and I don't know where it's at, but that's a place that's designated by God for the souls and spirits of the believers. When they die, the soul and spirit goes to the place called paradise. The body goes into the ground, sleeping in the dust. The body is sleeping in the dust, not the soul and spirit. Today, and during the tribulation period, when a believer dies, His body goes into the ground just like everyone else, or it's taken care of, and it could be burned or whatever, but the body turns to dust. The soul and spirit go directly into heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That will take place during the tribulation too. So when a believer in the tribulation is killed, he will immediately be in the presence of God. His soul and spirit will go into the ground. Did you get that? Now, when an unbeliever dies, you see, he goes to a designated place too, of everlasting torment. And his soul and spirit will be there. His body goes into the ground. There will be a resurrection. Some will be a resurrection to everlasting contempt. Yes, Sue?
So you're saying
till the resurrection of Christ, yes. Right. Yes. When he ascended, he took captivity captive. So he led those who were in paradise in Abram's bosom into heaven with him. So the souls and spirits of the Old Testament saints are now in heaven. Right. They're with Christ. When he comes back the second time, he will bring those souls and spirits. There will be a second resurrection. That resurrection, well, it's a part of the first resurrection, resurrection of the just. They will be resurrected to go into the millennial kingdom. All right? I want to be sure we understand that. I'll discuss that a little bit more and just, well, I won't be able to get to it today, but let me look at it. Ephesians 4:8 tells he led captivity captive. So he took those souls and spirits of the Old Testament saints into heaven. The church age saints and the tribulation saints go directly, I said this, directly to heaven. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. The body is dead. Because the body is dead because that which keeps it alive, or that which makes it alive, is the soul and spirit. Death is a separation. The soul and spirit are separated from the body. When that happens, the body's dead. That's true of the believer and the non-believer. When the soul and spirit of a person leaves that body is dead. By the way, did you read that? I think it was in India that they were gathered together. One man died. Did you hear about that? He died, and they were all planning on his funeral. And the doctor came to give them a death certificate. And when he got there, the body was still warm and it was still alive. So they're glad they caught that before they put him in the ground. But he was still alive. I don't know. It didn't say much about it, but. I suspect that he was resuscitated and came back to life. Not that he left his life, but he was, you know, was able to move. We have to stop there, and we'll have to finish this up. Let's see, in September. So we got a long time. We'll get back to this and we'll review a little bit. Father, again, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the hope of Israel. We thank you for our blessed hope, Father, that you'll come for us someday to take us home to be with you. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to study it. We pray that the things that have been said might be meaningful to us, that we might be able to use it in our lives and in our testimony for you. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.